The meeting is now called to order. Will the clerk please take the roll?
Legislators May.
Here.
Rowley.
Here.
Burtis.
Here.
Tassone.
Here.
Cody.
Here.
Abbott Keenan.
Here.
Kuhn.
Here.
Ryan. Chase.
Here.
Holmquist.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Bush.
Here.
Kelly.
Here.
Kinney.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Irvin.
Here.
Mr. Chairman.
Here.
16 present, 1 absent.
Thank you. Would everyone please rise for the invocation led by Legislator Burtis and remain standing for the Pledge of the Flag led by Legislator Tassone.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve my community here at the legislature, and I pray that you would give us great wisdom as we make decisions. I ask that you would give comfort and peace to those that are hurting physically, struggling financially, or mentally. Overcome by all that is happening in the world today, I pray that you would intercede and help us. Lord, thank you that we live in the greatest country in the world. Thank you for blessing the United States of America, and I pray that you will help us all in the days and months ahead. I pray for peace and protection, that you would give us good health, that we would be well. Thank you for the men and women of the armed services. I would ask that you would protect them today and always. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading of the minutes, is there a motion to waive the reading?
Moved.
Thank you. Approval of the minutes, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Moved.
Thank you. Are there any communications to be presented?
As noted on the agenda.
Thank you. Has anyone signed up to speak in the public comment period?
Yes.
Thank you. We have three speakers signed up at this point. I'll call the names of the speakers. And I'll also give the person who's next, and if you can come up to the podium on my left. We like to keep things in the 3-minute range if possible. We will start out with Nicole Pruitt. With Erica Adigan on deck.
Hello. Do you guys remember me from the last meeting? My name is Nicole. I'm here to speak to you today. Good afternoon. Thank you, David, for allowing us to be here today to speak. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come here today, united to speak up and speak out against mandates. It has been since June that we have last met, and since June, the mandates for vaccines and masks are increasing, right? We see the Delta variant coming back. We now see our hospitals and schools, most importantly our hospitals, enforcing and encouraging the vaccine. That's why we're here today. We asked you back in June what we could do to help you stand up against the mandates. Since June, we have assembled and we have attended multiple school board meetings in an effort to get our voices heard. And we stand here today to ask you what you are doing. What are you doing? You can see that from the data that was emailed to you prior to our last meeting in June, which again has been outlined in a professional binder that we, CNY Informed and its members, have assembled. And from that binder, you can see that masks fail. Specifically, masks fail to filter particulates less than 100 nanometers. And if you remember at last meeting, I asked you if you knew the size of the coronavirus. Does anybody know? 70 nanometers. So the mask that you all wear fails to filter out the virus itself. We can also see from the binder that has been provided to the attention of Mr. May. Thank you for looking at this. You can see from the binder that the mask analysis was conducted, and from that mask analysis, you can see that the masks harbor harmful bacteria. We can also read, comprehend, and understand that in the detailed description of the invented coronavirus, the virus was made as a respiratory virus, much like the common cold or the flu, and that the invention was made for purposes of creating a vaccine. What is in the vaccine? Do you know, Mr. Knapp? What about you, Brian May? As provided to you for your easy review in the binder, potassium chloride is one of the ingredients of in the vaccine. Do you know what potassium chloride is used for, Linda Irvin? What about you, James Rowley? Potassium chloride is used for death by lethal injection. And you, each of you, Kevin Holmquist, John McBride, Tim Burtis, Judith Tassone, Deborah Cody, Julie Kennan, Mary Kuhn, Christopher Ryan, Ken Bush, Dr. Kelly, William Keene, Vernon Williams, and Peggy Chase are just willing to allow Ryan McMahon to mandate and force potassium chloride to be injected and mandated and forced upon the men and the women and the children in this county that you represent. Hospitals and schools are mandating this vaccine for employment and for attendance in schools. This is absurd. This vaccine is not FDA approved for, and even if it was, do you honestly think that injecting poison into our bodies, even in the slightest amount, is acceptable? I want you to pick up your pens, each one of you right now, and I want you to write down this number. Are you guys all ready? The number is 1-800-222-1222. That's the number to poison control. The number is also provided to you in the binder that I have turned in for each of you to review and for your easy reference. I would ask that you call this number, 1-800-222-1222, and ask poison control that you have been, tell them that you have just been injected with potassium chloride, and see what they say. And I bet you that they're going to tell you that you need to go to the hospital right away. We voted for you, each one of you. We didn't vote for Mark Zuckerberg, who funneled money into Onondaga County elections to assist with the election fraud. We didn't vote for him. We don't back Bill Gates, who funded the Perbright Institute, who owns the invented coronavirus, details of which are provided to you in the binder. And we don't support anyone who encourages, forces, mandates, or removes anything that infringes upon our rights. That includes you over there on the end, Peggy. This includes vaccines, masks, guns, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and so on. We are holding you, each and every one of you, accountable for every child who suffers mentally, emotionally, psychologically, socially, and physically from wearing a mask. We are holding each and every one of you accountable for every child, man, woman, teacher, nurse, doctor, union worker, state and federal employee who develops a heart arrhythmia, a blood disorder, autoimmune disorder, a miscarriage, productive cough, pneumonia, nerve injury, mobility issues, lung disorders, leukemia, lethargia, iron disorders, infantile disorders.
If we could wrap it up, we're well over time.
Okay.
Thank you.
And death. The VAERS report of the vaccine is provided to you. There are only over 1,288,000 adverse reactions to this vaccine that's not even FDA approved. I'll leave this at the front desk for you to review. I am encouraging each and every one of you to attend our March to Eliminate Mandates on Tuesday, August 17th at 8 a.m. We must stand up and speak out. We're not going to allow you to force us to inject toxins into our bodies or wear a mask anymore. If it's forced, we are not free, and this is America, where God gave us natural-born common law rights that are forever guaranteed. I'll see you at the march. Thank you.
You can give that to the clerk, and she'll take care of it. Next, we have Erica Agagin, and then Gary Dunlop is on deck. Okay, that's fine.
Hi there. Sorry for the confusion. I'm Amanda Dober, and I was chickening out, so Erica was originally supposed to speak for me, but I really appreciate the time that you guys are taking to let me voice my feelings, opinions, and facts. So I just want to start out by saying that if hundreds of thousands of people in a democracy are protesting, I think we should listen. It's not a democracy, that's a dictatorship. If this many people are protesting at this scale and their voices are not heard, then you know for sure we do not live in a democracy. I just want to touch a lot about on vaccines mostly. In case anybody didn't know that the federal law prohibits mandates on emergency use, COVID vaccines, PCR tests, which have been just proven to be very inaccurate, masks, if I hadn't said it, under federal law, employers and universities cannot legally mandate COVID vaccines because they are unlicensed emergency use products. Under the Nuremberg Code, the Foundation of Ethical Medicine, no one may be coerced to participate in a medical experiment. Consent of the individual is absolutely essential. I just wanted to speak a little bit on children's vaccinations. The disease in children is commonly mild, and serious cases have remained rare. Two large studies in children show that prolonged symptoms are uncommon and overall similar or milder in children testing positive for COVID compared to those symptoms from other respiratory viruses. The CDC estimates put the infection fatality rate from COVID-19 among children 0 to 17 at 22 million. The CDC estimates 42% of children aged 5 to 17 have been infected by March of 2021. Given that infection induces a robust immune response in the majority of individuals, the implication is that risks of COVID-19 posed to the pediatric population may be even lower than generally recognized. And then I just like to touch on ethics. Should a society be forced to vaccinate when there are so many risks and unknowns? As I am sure we've all heard that the vaccines are not nearly as effective or safe as promised, why isn't the government encouraging lifestyle changes? Let's focus on a better diet, more sleep, less chemicals, more exercise, benefits of vitamin C, D, zinc, fresh air, just to name a few. Do you really care about our health? One person dies every 30 seconds from heart disease, 1.5 million yearly deaths from diabetes, should I even touch on cancer? Yet we're so concerned about forcefully doing our part to protect people from a virus with a 98.23% survival rate. Why isn't the government providing free insulin, chemotherapy, affordable healthy food, health care? The whole picture in regards to caring for humanity and their health seems a bit disingenuous to me. We are fully aware of the fiscal gain and power pharmaceuticals and vaccine mandates provide. When money talks, the truth stays silent. Bear with me, I just have a little bit more. COVID survival rate across all age groups is about 98.23%. In children, the survival rate is even higher, 99.985%, calling into question the need for a widespread COVID vaccination. Anyone who is injured by COVID vaccines and the families of those who die from following vaccination will not receive compensation from the pharmaceutical industry. Both the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 and Countermeasure Industry Compensation Program provide immunity from liability to vaccine makers for deaths and injuries that occur from the use of their products. I'm not okay with that. I'm not sure how anybody else could be when you pose a possible risk of never getting COVID or dying from it. And as of July 16th, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has received reports of 491,218 total adverse events, including 11,405 deaths following the COVID vaccinations. The lack of transparency, censorship, and corruption that continues to mislead, divide, and devastate not only the U.S., but most of the world is shameful. This is a virus. Herd immunity, regardless of how that's achieved, will never fully eradicate a virus, especially when fully vaccinated people are still spreading and contracting it. I just hope that we can all realize that some of these things are not the way to go, and if we've done all of these things the first round of COVID and we're back to square one, given the fact that, yes, there's a new variant, but that's how viruses work, why would we do the same thing over again? Just something to think about, especially when it's being forced. Thank you for your time. I very much appreciate it. Have a great day.
Amanda, if you could just come over and give your name and address to the clerk for the minutes. Thank you. Lastly, we have Gary Dunlap.
Good afternoon, everyone. Now, the previous two speakers spoke a lot about specifics regarding coronavirus masking and getting the shots, so I'm not going to reiterate what's already been repeated. But basically, I'm here to vehemently oppose any mandates for either mask wearing or for getting the shots. Bottom line, this is an affront to liberty. It's an affront to everything that made this country great and what made this what this nation was founded upon the principles of natural law, God's law, and it's an usurpation of inalienable rights that only God himself can give. Something that the government cannot take away is what God himself gives. And it should be apparent by now that this whole coronavirus scenario has been way, way overblown. And now here we are trying to do the same thing again with a return of wearing masks and forced. I don't want to even call them vaccinations, because these are you can't vaccinate against a virus, okay? It doesn't work. This is not a it's a bacteria you're vaccinating against, not a virus. But the thing is, these shots, you know, will do nothing to help people's health. And matter of fact, if anything, it's going to be detrimental. There's already been cases of adverse reactions amongst many people. And the simple fact is, you know, that if these shots really were effective, then why are we even worrying about the so-called Delta variant? This is no different than the flu shots. Why is it we get a flu shot every year? Well, the thing is, the flu shot we get this year is not going to be effective because the flu would have since mutated since then. But yet it's still pushed. And so why are we? And we're doing the same thing here with the coronavirus. Only the difference is, you know, we have various entities above us that want to force this upon we the people. And we the people will not accept it. We will not get the shot. We will not wear masks. And I might add, why is it, since, you know, Governor Cuomo lifted, you know, the last of his emergency edicts some weeks back, is it that we can't come into this courthouse without having to show proof of vaccination or having to wear a mask? I mean, whose house is this anyway? Isn't this the taxpayers' house? This belongs to we the people. We the people don't want any of this stuff. Despite what the media may be telling you, what you might see on, you know, channels 3, 5, or 9, or Spectrum News. You know, most people don't want this. They may have not have outwardly pushed back against before, go along to get along, but that doesn't mean that by enforcing these mandates that you're not usurping people's freedom of choice, their free will. That is not America. You did not take an oath to the Constitution to force things down people's throats. And I would urge you in the strongest ways to oppose and vote against any mandates, whether it's within government agencies or the private sector. Because this is the height of tyranny. And if it didn't work before, even if all this coronavirus stuff was actually accurate, it certainly isn't going to work now. So do the right thing by your constituents and stand up for liberty. Stand up for freedom. Don't buy into what the mainstream media tells you. Do your own research. There are plenty of alternate voices out there that have done the scientific work, you know, and shown why these shots are dangerous, why mask wearing is dangerous, at the very least ineffective. But above all, I'm speaking about the principles of liberty, to safeguard liberty, to safeguard Onondaga County as a place of freedom in New York State and not as a place of tyranny. Thank you.
Thank you. Has anyone else signed up to speak? The public comment period is now closed. Reports of standing committees?
None.
Reports of special committees?
None.
Okay, we're going to begin the call of legislative districts now. We're going to start a little bit out of order. We're going to start with district number one.
District one, Mr. May.
I raise and offer item 10.
Are you asking for a waiver on this item?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you.
Is there any objection to a waiver on item number 10? Seeing none, a waiver is granted. Leader May. Will the clerk, deputy clerk, please read in the resolution?
Amending resolution number 157-2020 regarding the adoption of the 2021 annual county budget.
Leader May.
Thank you, Chairman. The last year and a half has been madness for most of us in many ways, certainly within our legislative duties. Most relevant to this body certainly has been and really still is the public's health and well-being, and of course through this time the county's fiscal well-being and fiscal strength. On the basis of forecasts of significant financial shortfalls last year and significant challenges last year, namely having to do with, you know, dropped sales tax revenue and cuts threatened from New York State, we made some very, very difficult decisions to keep our priorities at the forefront and the county and county government moving forward. In my opinion, the crisis management we did together, and look, we didn't agree on everything. Let's not kid ourselves, okay? We didn't agree on everything, but as a whole, the crisis management that we did from our seats and our role were good, was good. We made historic cuts to a county budget, cuts that we're finding out today are probably pretty sustainable in many ways. That's a good thing for taxpayers. That's a good thing for the people we serve. We avoided many, many, many layoffs last year through creative management, through collaboration. You know, a major driver behind that success was collaboration with the executive branch. We gave them the flexibility by resolution in the budget to balance the budget, make game time decisions to manage the financial impacts of the COVID crisis. Now for the elephant in the room, right? Let's talk about it. It's safe to say that, and forgive me for speaking for others, but it's safe to say there is strong disagreement over the authorities granted in the 2021 budget resolution. I think there's no shortage of frustration. Again, not to speak for anyone, my observation is there's frustration over this. There's lots of maybe even disagreement on how to fix it. I think there, unfortunately, you know, are emotional drivers, political drivers, and all kinds of other stuff that cloud and distract us from our true responsibility. Item 10, the item we have before us, does a very simple thing. It's a product of due diligence. We've talked to law. We've talked to our legislative council. We've talked to folks across the administration. We've talked to legislators. It's time to restore pre-pandemic budget authority to what it has always been in accordance with the charter. What you have in front of you changes it today and changes it moving forward to what it has always been prior to the pandemic. Again, lots of other avenues and issues have been explored, but this is what we know we can do today. This is a good thing, all right? It's a step forward. It's doing the right thing with respect to our responsibility and role in county government. If anyone wants to do more after today, do it. You know, I assure you, lots and lots of due diligence has been done. There could be more if we try to do more, but by and large, this is what we know we can do today. Legislator Kenny, can you hold off till I'm done?
Item number 11.
We were talking about the budget resolution. Yes, thank you. Thanks for the clarification. I misspoke.
Yeah, he misspoke.
This out of order thing has really thrown me off, Bill. Thanks for clearing it up. Yeah, right. So at the end of the day, COVID-19 clearly is not behind us, as evidenced by the speakers today. There are lots of problems and lots of decisions and lots of things that we're going to continue to encounter and deal with. But the financial crisis, I think it's safe to say, is behind us. You know, that being said, you know, this resolution restores legislative and executive authority with respect to the budget. It restores it to pre-pandemic levels. I think it's a logical next step. I think it's something that everyone here could and should support. And again, I strongly urge adoption to this resolution. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Leader May. Other discussion on item number 11. Legislator Rowley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate Leaders May efforts here. It's an important step that we have to take, but in my opinion, Mr. Chairman, it's a half measure. You know, we need to address the larger elephant in the room, the $61.2 million in appropriations that the county executive directed the county controller to make in a project account to account for and expend the stimulus monies. You know, my constituents, I think, would want me involved in a project or want to know the details of a project that's named Keeping It Local, and it's $1 million, or maybe the Carnegie reservations of about $2.1 million. You know, what's that all about? Or the CNY arts film incentives for $2.6 million. This is all, or the sports complex for $13 million. This is all appropriations that, in my opinion, the county executive had no authority to direct the county controller to make. You know, we talk about the budget resolution. You know, when we passed that budget resolution, it's pretty clear to me that it was for the appropriated, the past budget, the budget that we adopted. There was no stimulus money at the time we adopted the budget. There's no way in God's green earth that the county executive can interpret that language to mean that he could now spend millions and millions of dollars in stimulus money without our oversight. That's just wrong. And beyond that, Mr. Chairman, you know, Code Section 208, I mean, Code Section 2.02 or Charter Section 208 specifically gives the authority to do to make appropriations. The county legislature has the powers and the duty to make appropriations. The county executive does not. That's the way it's been for millennia. And it transcends Democrat, Republicans. You know, it's an issue of being an elected official. It's a core function of us as being elected official is to give the power of the purse to the county executive. He proposes, we dispose. That's the way it works. And to think that the county executive is going to spend $61 million without any insight, oversight, input from this legislature, to me, is crazy. And I'm going to support this. It's a half measure, like I said. It's better than nothing. But I'll be working with any legislator who wants to work with me to try to claw back these appropriations that, in my mind, are illegal. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, other Legislator Kenny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank Legislator Rowley. I've been arguing that in my caucus for months now, that what was happening with the county executive spending this money was not right. And I personally would like to work with you, Legislator Rowley, if no one else does. I hope more people would, because it's just not right what's been happening here. It clearly states in the county charter that we are people to dispose of the money. And long as I'm on that topic, I'd like to bring something else up. I've had the pleasure of serving here for 20 years, 1992 to 2012. And in all that time, if I wanted to talk to a department head, I could do that. It was no problem. Might not get the answer I was hoping for, but at least I got a better understanding. But since I came back in this term, you can't talk to a department head. You got to go through somebody. You know, I'm an elected official. I have 25,000 or so constituents that I represent, and I shouldn't have to go play this game. And I'm hoping that my fellow colleagues will recognize that that's not right, that we are elected officials, we all have constituents to represent, and we should be able to talk to anybody in county government that we want. Thank you, sir.
Other comments on number 11? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abby Keenan, May, Irvin Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Resolution number 11 is adopted. So we will now return to the regular order.
District 2, Mr. Rowley.
None.
District 3, Mr. Burtis.
Mr. Chairman, I would rise and bring items 1 through 5 and urge their adoption.
Number 1.
Confirming reappointment to the Community Services Advisory Board.
Legislator Burtis.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Number 1 is we're confirming this is a reappointment to the Community Services Advisory Board. This is Ms. Sarah Merrick, an excellent county employee. To take this post there. The term will expire on December 31st, 2024. I urge its adoption.
Other comments on item number 1? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abbott, Keenan, May, Irvin Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Item number 1 is adopted. Number 2.
Confirming reappointment to the Onondaga County Cultural Resources Trust.
Legislator Burtis.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as it was said, this is another reappointment. The gentleman is Mr. Petrovich, who's an excellent employee, great man. You see his resume there and all his accomplishments there. This term will expire August 3rd, 2026. I thank him for his service, and I urge his adoption.
Thank you. Other comments on item number 2? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abbott, Keenan, May, Irvin Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Resolution number 2 is adopted. Number 3.
Confirming appointment to the Onondaga County Cultural Resources Trust.
Legislator Burgess.
Yes, number 3, as it was stated, we're confirming an appointment. The young man's name is Ryan Smith. He's an excellent young man from our community. He will serve there. I believe he'll serve well. His term will expire August 3rd, 2025, and I urge its adoption.
Thank you. Other comments on item number 3, Legislator Cody.
Yes, I'd just like to commend the county executive on this one. This is it's nice to see young people getting involved in our boards. Ryan Smith is a North Syracuse resident. He's relatively new to the area, 19-year-old. He's expressed an interest in getting involved in the community, and so I'm really happy to see him on this board.
Legislator Kuhn, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I will certainly support this, but I guess I'm just hoping that in the future we have a very robust arts community, and I am hoping in the future we have, from that large community, we can select people with a strong background in the arts. But I absolutely support, and I love that we have a young person coming on. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abbott, Keenan, May, Irvin Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Resolution number 3 is adopted. Number 4.
Confirming appointment to the Onondaga County Resource Recovery Agency.
Legislator Burgess.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Number 4 is an appointment. This is for a gentleman by the name of Luis Torres. As you see there on his resume, he is an entrepreneur, comes to us by way of Puerto Rico. And I think he'd be an excellent addition there. And his term will expire December 31st, 2023. I urge its adoption.
Thank you. Other comments on item number 4? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abbott, Keenan, May, Irvin Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Resolution number 4 is adopted. Number 5.
Resolving the impasse in collective negotiations.
Motion to waive the reading. Objections? Seeing none, motion is granted. Legislator Burgess.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we are resolving the impasse between Onondaga County and the Deputy Sheriff's Benevolent Association of Onondaga County. This was for an agreement which expired December 31st, 2018. There were a lot of issues, 10 issues, regarding this problem. Thankfully, this resolution will take care of this impasse and take care of things for this group of folks. What this is a 2% increase effective at the beginning of the first full pay period after January 1st, 2019. The 2018 salary schedule F and the 2018 overtime rate schedule C, this will take care of that. This is, again, between County of Onondaga and DSBA that expired on December 31st, 2018. I believe that this is the right thing for us to do for these good men and women that serve here. And I'm thankful for the work that's been done here, and I urge its adoption.
Thank you. Other comments on item number 5? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abbott, Keenan, May, Irvin Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Resolution number 5 is adopted.
District 4, Ms. Tassone.
Mr. Chairman, I rise and offer resolution number 6 and ask for its adoption.
Memorializing resolution in support of requesting commercial motor vehicles to be mandated to use a global positioning system that accounts for low bridges and overpasses.
Legislator Stone.
I think we all know how many times the Parkway Bridge gets hit per year. But in New York State, they average 220 bridge strikes a year. And this accounts for $15 million to be spent on repairing these bridges. This, when people are traveling on the Parkway, they use a regular GPS, which does not let them know that there is a height restriction ahead, which causes a lot of accidents. This is a resolution asking New York State Legislature to mandate the use of commercial global positioning system on commercial motor vehicles for the safety of motorists in New York State roadways and to protect highway infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments on item number six? Leslie Kinney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm surprised to see this here. I was thought we were told there was no more memorialization resolutions coming. But that being said, I'm wondering if the sponsor of this bill has talked to our state delegation and how they feel about this. I mean, from what I'm being told by the state delegation is they don't really pay much attention to these things. And it seems to me that maybe we could call them up and talk to them about it before we do something like this that's going to take up time. So I'm going to be voting against this because I've had no information. Thank you.
On your vote, Leader Irvin, did you have your hand up?
Sorry, thank you. Again, echoing what Legislator Kinney said, I thought we had stopped doing memorializing resolutions. We were told that at the last time we tried to put one through, and now we have another one. The concept is fine, but I think it's kind of useless to put a piece of paper together and hope that something's going to happen. Talking with the state delegation would have been more effective, and the thought is great, but I can't support it because of the process, so I would be voting against it.
Just real quick, on the memorializing resolution question, we discussed political memorializing resolutions that are designed to try and simply embarrass one side or the other or create useless arguments. I deemed this as a public safety issue. We had four people die a few years back when a bus hit this bridge, and the driver admitted he was using a civilian or regular GPS, so I thought that this merited being talked about. Thank you. Legislator Stone.
You just said everything I wanted to say. This isn't a political resolution. This is a safety resolution. Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing none, clerk will call a long call.
Legislators May?
Yes.
Irvin?
No.
Burtis?
Yes.
Tassone?
Yes.
Cody?
Yes.
Abbott Keenan?
Yes.
Kuhn?
No.
Chase?
No.
Holmquist?
Yes.
McBride?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Kinney?
No.
Williams?
No.
Rowley?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
11 ayes, 5 opposed, 1 absent.
Resolution number 6 is adopted.
District 5, Ms. Cody?
None.
District 6, Mrs. Abbott Keenan?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I rise and offer resolution number 7 and urge its adoption.
Confirming appointment of Joanne Spato Decker as the Commissioner of Adult and Long-Term Care Services.
Go ahead.
Sorry, this is a phenomenal example of promoting from within and having employees invest in us, and we in turn invest in them. So I am very happy to sponsor Joanne Spato Decker's potential move to be the commissioner at this moment. She's spent 3 decades working here, and so she knows the department, everything from being a case manager to working into compliance, and where she currently serves as deputy commissioner and executive director of the Office for the Aging. I think this is a proud example of investing in employees and them investing in us and meeting them at the end after some hard work. So I urge everyone to support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions on number 7? Leader Irvin.
Thank Thank you. I think this is a great move. Joanne is a wonderful employee and certainly deserves to be in this position, and I'd like to be a co-sponsor to this resolution.
Other comments on number 7? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abbott, Keenan, May, Irvin, Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Resolution number 7 is adopted.
District 7, Ms. Kuhn?
None.
District 8, Mr. Ryan?
None.
District 9, Dr. Chase?
None.
District 10, Mr. Holmquist?
None.
District 11, Mr. McBride?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise and offer items number 8 and 9 and urge their adoption.
Number 8.
Confirming the appointment of Shannon L. Hardy, P.E., as the Onondaga County Commissioner of the Department of Water Environment Protection.
Legislator McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 8 is confirming the County Executive's appointment of Shannon Hardy as Commissioner of the Department of Water and Environmental Protection, or as we commonly known as WEP. Ms. Hardy has a very impressive resume that describes her extensive experience and skill sets in both the private and public sectors, which makes Ms. Hardy an excellent choice to head up the department. I fully support Ms. Hardy's confirmation, and I urge this adoption of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments on item number 8? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abbott, Keenan, May, Irvin, Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Resolution number 8 is adopted. Congratulations, Shannon. Number 9.
Personnel resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 9 is a personnel resolution with respect to WEP. The resolution authorizes abolishing 3 positions while creating 4 positions within the department, as well as making adjustments to grades and steps to better align salaries, all in accordance with the new commissioner's workforce redevelopment plan that she presented to both the Environmental Protection Committee as well as the Ways and Means Committee. This plan lays out a comprehensive and strategic vision for WEP moving forward, and I would say it was very refreshing to see such a plan as a legislator. I think this is a very good first step in realigning the department, so I fully support this resolution, and I urge its adoption. Thank you.
Other comments on item number 9? Seeing none, clerk will call a short call.
Legislators Abbott, Keenan, May, Irvin, Williams. 16 ayes, 1 absent.
Resolution number 9 is adopted.
District.
Before we move on to number 10, we're going to take a 5-minute recess.